Just change our perspective today. Change our hearts. Allow your spirit to move, oh God, in such a way that you will change the trajectory of our lives. And we just give your name the praise, honor, and glory. And we thank you for this time and this place. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. All right, somebody repeat after me. There's power in the word of God. There's truth in the word of God. There's healing in the word of God.
There's healing in
Jesus
the word.
Jesus is the word of God. This somebody give him some praise. Come on. Yes, he is. He's the word, the living word. All right. And let me just share this right now. All right. The message for today is all in one. All in one. Somebody say all in one. All in one.
All in one.
Amen. And I believe God got something good in store for us today. You know, I think when we think about who God is as sovereign, we believe that all power belongs to him. We believe that God has submitted everything under his feet, right? He submitted all things under him. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. But also we can look into our lives as well, how in life there are things that we experience in all things, right? So we can be in one season and we can experience multiple things, because we are part spirit, right? We are part soul, right? And we are part flesh. And so we experience the complexity of multiple things, and we have to understand how much depth there is to us. And so I believe that God created us in such a way where we're multifaceted. At the same time, God wants us to understand that when we are experiencing things, we shouldn't allow what we are experiencing to deter who's seated on high. We shouldn't allow what we're experiencing to allow us to forget the main reason of why we're here. It's okay to experience things. That's part of life. We're going to go through. We're going to experience hardship. We're going to experience difficulty. The Bible even mentions it in John 16:33, that in this life we will have many tribulation, many trouble. But Jesus tells his disciples, be of good cheer, for I have what? Overcome the world. I have overcome all things. All things are submitted to what? One. Huh? So whatever you're experiencing is submitted to one. So your hope shouldn't be in the things. Your hope should be in what? Somebody say it with me. The one. Come on. The one. And the one, of course, is Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
The one.
Amen. Which through him, we have faith, we have hope, and we have access to the Father. So in the season that we are in, right, it has revealed some mysteries to us that allows us to learn the truth about our reality, right? The truth is you can experience many things at the same time. As God's people, sometimes we can see life from a narrow-minded point of view. We can only handle one particular way as humans, leaving out the masterful intentionality of God proving himself in many fashions. Yes, we may be experiencing one season, living one life, serving one Lord, having one God, yet the room for growth proves itself limitless in reality. And so I want to say to us that in this reality that we live, there is no such thing as perfection. Somebody say that. There is no such thing as perfection. The only one that was perfect and blameless that came on earth and is seated right now on the right-hand side of the Father is Jesus. And I think it's easy to say that there's no such thing as perfection, but when you are experiencing life and life is revealing to you the things that you have not been groaned in yet or groomed in yet, or areas that God starts to reveal in you that are damaged, that are broken, we tend to get intimidated. But that's not God trying to intimidate us. The Bible says he deals with us as children. The Bible says God chastised those that he loves. And so when we are experiencing these things in our life, it is not for our our damnation, it's for our good. It's for God to show us the areas that we need to grow. You are always going to be growing in your life. You are always going to be experiencing some level of change. You're going to be experiencing some level of uncomfortability. That's natural. That's going to happen when you're in Christ, because God is stretching you and he wants you to bear more fruit. He's trying to grow you into the person that he's already destined you to be before the beginning of earth, before he created the foundations of the earth. He already had a vision and an assignment for you. So you're always going to be growing in the potential that God has created you to be. The potential God has created you to be, it's big. Yes, it goes beyond our wildest dreams. It's great. So, of course, you looking at who God said you're going to be and looking at you where you are now, you like, God, I ain't good enough for this. Moses is like, I got a speech impediment. Jeremiah said, I'm just a young boy. Jonah said he doesn't want to give the word to them because he's afraid of persecution. They don't deserve it. There are things in us that are damaged, that are broken, but yet God uses those pieces to heal the world. And we have to come to terms that we are always going to forever, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in singleness, whether it's when we're young, or whether when it's we were old, whether we get the opportunity that we're looking for, whether we don't get the opportunity, whether we're walking in victory, whether we're walking in the valley, God is always going to be pulling something out of us, working something out of us. And there's no such thing as perfection. So this false idea that life will become better when either we achieve something or attain something or become something leads us into a restricted and a bankrupt way of living life. Ask Jesus, who was perfect and became an accursed thing, to show us what life is. The bottom line is anything can happen with anything and at any point. Life is too short for what we deem as the standard. Truth is, your life should be Christ. Whether something good happens or something bad happens, Christ remains the only solid force. Christ remains the only solid force. We've all experienced in some way, some shape, some form, or some fashion, grief, heartbreak. Some of you have been afflicted. Some of us experience betrayal. Some of us experience lack. And let me say something to you. All of that is working for your good. Could it be that in certain seasons, God shows us what it's like to be without, so we know how to handle when we do have? See, if you were a believer in Christ, I want to keep it a buck with you right now. The young people say, let's keep it a buck. Let's keep it a buck. All of us, and I'm including myself in this, we all have to learn how to live with losses. That's just the way life is, and this is not our home, and we shouldn't get too comfortable. As a born-again believer, we as a people should learn how to live with losses. That's life. It's not Burger King. I love that slogan where they say, ABK, have it your way. You rule. We don't rule. Christ ruled in our life. He's the Lord over our life. Right? So when we're not living in Burger King, we're living in a Christ kingdom. We're living in a different kingdom where he's Lord, where he's Alpha, where he's Omega. He has the beginning of our story and the finishing touches to our story. And there's times in our life, and I know because I've been feeling the same thing, y'all. I know you feeling that. Wait a minute. Why is this life just like every time I want it to go my way, it just doesn't go my way. Like I'm almost there. Like it almost went my way. I had these few 2 days of like everything went perfect. And then all of a sudden now it just switches up because God wants you to know that this life is not your own. It belongs to me. And the way in which God is going to promote you, hallelujah, the way in which God is going to elevate you, The way in which God is going to put you in the next phase of your life is not going to be based off of how you perceived it for yourself. That idolatric imagination and fantasy that you had about what your life was going to look like, cancel it out, because you decided to choose the cross of Jesus Christ. And when you cross his way, he's going to bring it to pass the way in which he wanted to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. So that promise that you got, that thing that the Lord has spoken to your parents and spoken into you and speaking into you so you could speak into the next generation, God is saying, I'm canceling out and destroying every imagination, every thought, every high thing that tries to exhort itself against the knowledge of God. And I'm bringing it into captivity under the obedience of Christ. That just doesn't mean imaginations that the enemy brings. That means the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Everything that you've been trying to put before God is brought under the submission of Jesus Christ. God is about to do something, but he's doing it for his glory. He's not doing it for your vanity. You got to get the vanity out of your victory, because this thing that God is trying to build in you is everlasting. It's for a greater kingdom. It's not for this kingdom. And if you're living for this kingdom, you'll die with it. But if you're living for Christ's kingdom, you'll find your life. Hallelujah. Let's keep it moving. So here's the thing. You might achieve your greatest victories, yet you're dealing with loneliness. You might have a great business, but you're struggling with comparison. You might have a beautiful family, but you're dealing with the tension of your childhood trauma. You might be at the height of your physical health, but you battle with insecurity. You may have the biggest success yet, but you're handling grief. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because either way you put it, you're not going to be comfortable. If you're sitting high, you're not going to be comfortable. If you're sitting low, you're not going to be comfortable. God is showing you what it's really about. We are dealing with beautiful things, yes, yet the harsh difficulties of life. And God allows them all. Why? It's benefiting you and it's bearing more fruit. Sometimes God can't get more unless he cuts. God can't get more unless he cuts. He's a surgeon. He is the great physician. Oh, come on. There's something that God wants to get out of you, and he's not finished until the day of Christ. He's not finished. Somebody say he's not finished. He's not finished with me. I find it that in my moments of weakness, his strength is made perfect. I find it that it is when God is promoting me higher where he cuts the most. He's getting rid of those stinky things. He's getting rid of my mentality, the old way of thinking. He's getting rid of my harsh mouth. He's getting away of my disposition that was wrong, or my content of heart. He's getting rid of the pride in those areas that he does these things to let me know that he is sitting on high, and that I always got to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. I got these glasses on, but they fixed on Jesus. Come on. That's what God wants us to remember. So John 15, 1 through 2, New King James Version says this. Somebody say, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. That it what? That it might bear more fruit. And every time you think you reached your ceiling, here comes another floor. Every time you reach the end of that level, you're back on ground zero. And you're like, God, why every time I feel like I reach my peak, I'm always going back low? It's because God wants you to go low so he can grow you. See, this is the reason why God does this. So we can remain in the Father. We can remain in Christ. The Bible says it. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it might bear more fruit. And there's fruit that God is bearing in your life. It don't matter what season you are in your walk, in your faith walk. God doesn't care. He's bearing more fruit. He don't care if you're 20. Hello. He don't care if you're 30. He don't care if you're 40. He don't care if you're 50. He don't care if you're 60. You still his child. Hello. He don't care if you're 70. He don't care if you're 80. You're still his child. And he's working on you. He's building you. Somebody got to recognize what God, ooh, I feel the anointing up in this place. You have to recognize what God is doing in you right now. Stop looking at where you need to go. Start looking at who you are. Come on. God has built something in who you are, and he's breaking. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Jesus. Joshua and Caleb, the promised land had walls around them. And it wasn't about them just breaking, them getting into the promised land. Their confidence had something that the children of Israel during that time didn't have. They had courage, confidence, and faith. And they was able to look at the land being operated by enemies and ites and say, this land is good. We are more than able to possess the land. They was able to look at a land that looked intimidating, that they looked outnumbered. They was able to see, I feel the anointing. They was able to see something that the other people didn't see. So God had to get rid of a whole generation just so that generation can take the lead and help move to the promised land. So God is saying to you, it's not about something happening in your life. It's not about something that just going to magically appear in your hands. God said, the one that I'm making is you. The promise that I'm building is you. The hope that I'm building is in you. I didn't abide in tabernacles. I'm not abiding in those places. I put my Holy Spirit not in a building. I put my Holy Spirit in you. I put the anointing in you. I put the grace in you. I put the strength in you. I put my life in you. I put my love in you. I'm building you. I'm molding you. You're the one who I want to use. You're the one I want to do the most through. God is saying, I'm using you for your family. I'm using you for your friends. I'm using you for that generation. I'm telling you right now, it don't matter what the situation might look like in your life. It might look like kingdoms are being destroyed. It might look like famines are all around you. It might look like the job around you is going hayward. But God is saying that you are in the midst of it and you're not being destroyed. Why? Because I didn't choose it. I chose you. You're the
glory to Jesus.
You're the branch. You're the one I'm pruning. You're the one I'm making. You trying to wait for this whole thing to change? You're going to be the one to help change it. You're going to be the one to help destroy it. See, Jesus wasn't waiting for a perfect church. See, the generation was at the worst it ever was. The Roman Empire was at its strongest. The lost sheep of Israel was at their worst. They lost God. And Jesus still came and said, I'm going to fix it. Not with just merrily trying to build something. I'm going to fix it through the Spirit. One man, because of who he was, changed the trajectory of history. One man. So if one man is able to change it, how much more us? How much more us? Matthew 13, 29 through 30 says this. But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. And at the time of harvest, I would say to the reapers, first gather together the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the weeds in my barn. So this is in context to the believers and unbelievers who at the end of time will be gathered and enter into their final eternities. This is also good for us believers as we walk with God to understand how it works as God grows us in the Spirit. Let the positives and the negatives grow together. For whatever the old man is will eventually be burned, but who you grow into in the Spirit will bear the fruit and be harvested. I want to say to you, don't quit or give up on it because it's not perfect. Somebody needed to hear that. Don't quit or give up on it because it's not perfect. You trying to quit and give up because the process ain't perfect. But God never promised you a perfect process. God promised you that he'll be with you and that he will be with you even to the end of age. He said, let them both grow up together. Let the imperfections and let the bad thing, let the good things, let it grow up together. The temptations, let it grow up with your strength. The fears, let it grow up with your courage. The insecurities, let it grow up with your mental. God is saying, let it grow up together. Let God use all of it. Somebody said, let God use all of it. It's useful. It's useful. As long as, see, let him use your weakness and your strengths. As long as you abide in him, you will move in him despite you. Learn from the imperfect and progress. Let God use all of it. See, one thing I'm coming to learn, because listen, I'm an overthinker by nature. I'm an overthinker by nature. And the enemy will have me in a whole cycle of overthinking before I take a leap of anything. And he'll keep me in my own head about how I look when I'm doing stuff, how I'm a sound, how I'm a be, a blah, 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 blah. And what God has revealed to me is a Paul moment. I asked him to remove this thing thrice. I asked him to take it away. God, if you just let me walk in freedom and peace and joy, it'll be perfect. But guess what? That's not the truth, because God wants to bear more fruit. He wants me to know that his strength is made perfect in my weakness, so I will most gladly boast in it. Yes, I used to be a promotion and doubt student. Yes, I struggled with lust. Yes, I have my moments where I overthink. Yes, I am still learning and trying to figure out life. And I am still leading. I am still a minister. I am still proclaiming the gospel of God. I'm bearing more fruit than ever before. God is using me for his glory. And Satan, what are you going to do? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against what God has called. He's given me authority over scorpions, over serpents, and nothing by any means shall harm me. He has given me power over all power of the enemy. Hallelujah. So no matter what you face, no matter what's bothering you, no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what afflictions you go through, he has given you the grace, he has given you the authority, and he has given you the power to make use out of it. Hallelujah. Your anointing and your ministry is built from it. Hallelujah. I feel that thing. Pastor and co-pastor's ministry was built out of suffering. It was built out of tears. It was built out of labor. That's why we did. That's why we trust the anointing. That's why we trust the integrity. That's why they have credibility. They have credibility because they bled. So when you are being used by God and when you are going through, it is the stamp of approval that God puts on you that you're mine. Oh my gosh. Jacob wasn't approved till he had the injury in his hip socket. The limp was a sign that he blessed him. Remember the word. The bruising was the blessing. You're anchored in it. You are built for collateral damage. Y'all need to understand the gospel of the cross right now. You are built for this. You are built for collateral damage. You are built for suffering. Hallelujah. You are built to go through the fiery furnace and come out like pure gold. You are built in the midst of it. So no matter what the enemy want to lie to you about to make you feel like this thing is going to be forever, that this thing is never going to end, that you're going to keep going through it, it's not about getting out of it. It's about going through it with Jesus. When Abraham went to the mountain to sacrifice his son, he was walking up there with Jesus. He was walking up there knowing that even if he had to sacrifice his son, God had the power to resurrect him. God, if you do, listen, we got to get to that place in our life, y'all. God, if you do, and God, if you just so happen to not, you are God. I trust you. I know you. And I don't want to know that. I want to know you. I'm here for you. I'm not here for the things. I'm here for you. I'm here. This is all in one. It's all about you. This thing revolves around you. My life around all in one. All of these things revolve around you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. It revolves around you. It belongs to you. My heart is yours. My mind is yours. Come on. Everything is in you. Oh my gosh, I got to keep going. Holy Spirit, activate. Come on. Oh man. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Oh man. So we got three scriptures to show that Jesus is enough. Right? So 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, New King James Version. You see that little one on the left. It's like, it had a whole mouth. And all the other one, all the other two is just like simple scriptures. And then the other one is just like, I'm just trying to squeeze through this whole. All right. But it says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Lest I exalt above measure. Okay, my fault. I think I read that part. My fault. Yeah. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Somebody say it with me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, they come on, they that wait upon. I hear you, Lord. Okay, we're gonna get to that part. But that's the power how God works. When you decrease, he increases, right? When you make less of yourself, he makes his life abundant. He can live. His strength can rule, his strength can preside. Hallelujah. Psalms 27, 14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will what? He shall strengthen your heart. Wait. He repeats it again. Wait. Say on the Lord. He said, what? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen. But I strength, wait on the Lord now. Because sometimes you gotta bring that flesh under subjection. You gotta make it surrender. Hallelujah to the authority of God. Wait on the Lord. You better keep your position. You better wait for you, because that flesh ready to go buck. Wait on the Lord. Tie that thing up. Bring it under subjection. Make it glorified. You got to flesh shut up now, because you know you want to curse that person. You know you want to say some stuff. You want to let them hear them. Come on, God. You want to let out a voice of triumph. And when I'm talking about a voice of triumph, I'm not talking about the voice of triumph that glorify God. I'm talking about the one that glorify your flesh.
Help us.
I'm going to walk them. Because people be getting on your nerves, even the saved ones. Hello, the people who proclaim themselves to be saved and will talk about you behind your back. and make foolishness of your character. I'm talking about people with witchcraft. I'm talking lying wonders. I'm talking about evil spirits. We are in this world, but out of it. We're walking around this world, and these things are going on. It brings a vexation. These spirits are getting on you. You're like, oh my God, especially living in New York, you just feel a spirit of heaven. You got to cover yourself before you get out your house. You going into these places with these principalities, these rulers of darkness. It be smelling all weird. I'm telling you, your spirit be sensitive to that joint. I'm telling you, stuff comes in smells. Stuff comes in patterns and words. I'm telling you, when you get down in that spirit, you start feeling things. You're like, what in the world? But you gotta make that thing subject to the Lord. Wait. Hallelujah. Wait, I say on the Lord. And the Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait on the Lord, not wait on your flesh, not wait on your own way of, lean not to your own understanding, saints, but wait on the Lord. Because as those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. The Bible says this, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can I say something to you, saints? Strength is inevitable when you wait on the Lord. It's gonna happen. Many of us been in our low place, and the low place looks different for everybody on this line. But as you waited on the Lord, you realize he was more than enough. In actuality, he changes you.
Amen.
Come on. There's a difference. I'm telling you something right now, saints. Before COVID happened, y'all remember 2020? And when we was in 2019, y'all remember all the things we were saying about 2020? God is getting ready to do something great. Hallelujah. 2020 vision. God's about to explode. Like stuff good about to, we about to pop up. We about to blow. Oh! But that was our way of what we saw. God had a different way. He said, oh, y'all about to blow up? Let me take y'all on the valley. That's blowing up. The Bible says that Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. He was led by the Spirit. When Jesus, after the baptism of Jesus and God anointed him as the Son of God, you know what the Bible says next? The Spirit led him to the wilderness. It didn't lead him to the mountaintop. It didn't lead him to be glorified. He wasn't glorified yet. He wasn't on the right hand side of the Father. The Bible says he went into a wilderness. So what does the promise look like for us? A lot of times we think the promise look like this whole parade. Like, God is about to give me the new thing, new car, new house, new car, new car. And let me just say something. God might do that, but along with that, it's going to come some tests. See, we got to be ready for the reality, the backside of the blessing. It's going to come with tests. It's going to come with trials. It's going to come with challenges. And we got to be okay with that as well. Don't glorify the vanity of things. Glorify Jesus in it. That, wow, when we went through COVID, do you know that we were supposed to have an ordination? Me, Deacon, and AP, we were supposed to have our ordination in 2020. You know that thing got rescheduled to 2021. God pushed that thing back. He said, you ain't ready enough. You haven't gone under enough. And throughout that 2020 process, God broke me up like a bull. He broke them pieces up. Change them up. Oh, you think you a minister? You think you really a minister? Oh, we go. And so sometimes God does it in such a way which you didn't even perceive. I feel the anointing up in here. He delayed my expectations. He crucified this flesh. See, that's what it means to have victory. That's what it means. See, everybody want to go high, but victory means you go low. You got to go on. You got to be willing to receive the chastening of the Lord. You got to be really willing to be obedient. That's what glory looked like. That's what obedience looked like. It don't always look like the things that to show people. No, because God don't want you to be too high on yourself. 2 Corinthians even say it. Lest I be exalted above measure. That's why he put a thorn in Paul. So he won't think more of himself than he ought. I got to put you under so you can be a good leader. I gotta put you under so I can open up something that's never been opened. I'm sorry. I want to keep going. I want to keep going. I don't want to prolong this thing. All right. But, right? So I want to say, right, it's not about perfection or a perfect life. It's about the strength of the Lord. God allows us to experience highs and lows so we can be content in Christ. We're not judged by our greatest successes or our greatest failures. I'm going to repeat that again. We're not judged by our greatest successes or our greatest failures, but by walking in our identity and obeying God. Every person who was in the hall of faith wasn't identified by their greatest success or greatest failures. They was identified by their faith and their obedience to Christ. They was identified as sons and daughters of God. That's what you're going to be remembered as when all is said and done. Well done, the president of the United States. Well done, the highest GPA in your class. Well done, minister. Well done, right? Well done, my what? Good and what? Faithful servant. That's what you're going to be recognized for. Well done, my good and faithful. He's not looking at how big your name is. He's not looking at how big your church is. He's not looking at how big your success is. Stop comparing yourself. Comparison is the thief of joy. My good and faithful servant. That's it. How faithful were you to what he's giving you? 1 Timothy 6:6, New King James Version says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. We experience everything in one, not to harm us, but so we can remain in God's love, according to 1 Corinthians 13. Y'all already know 1 Corinthians 13. I don't gotta go haywire with that. But here's the next step. We have to take authority in what is. We have to take authority over what is today. If we're caught up in what's not or all the bad, then we can't live in the peace of God. Break down strongholds by choosing to make the most out of this season. Learn and grow from the messy and be great in the anointing God has given you. What? Not tomorrow, now. Not yesterday, now. Stop living in the past, now. Stop living in the future, now. It's okay to get things and visions from the Lord, and it's okay to thank God for what he's did before, but we keep missing on now because we're so focused on everything around. What are you doing now? Who is God to you now? How beautiful he is now. How great is he now? What glory are you giving him now? Enjoy the ups and find God in the downs. Let him do the work as the wheats and the tares grow together. You can't let the enemy steal what God has promised you today. Walk in it with authority. You're going to always be forever facing something at your highest and your lowest. There's always going to be something. It's like a balance beam. You're always going to be trying to balance something in your life. You're always going to try to be given something 60, something 30, something 100, something. You're always going to be trying to sow to something, but you have to learn the art of what God is doing now. You have to walk in the authority of what God has given you now. There is somebody's life that has to be touched today now. There is a soul that got to be saved today now. There is hope that has to be given today now. There's a beauty in the now. You have to believe God now. You have to sow now. You have to reap now. You have to walk in now. You got to beat up the enemy now. You ain't going to get to tomorrow if you're not beating him up now. Who are you now? God has brought you a mighty long way, and he is doing something great now that you didn't even perceive before. See, you believe God and what he's doing, stuff that he's doing today. You believed him for a long time ago, but you're letting the enemy steal your joy and rob you of it because you're so focused on the things that may have not happened or the things that's bugging you now. Things are always going to bug you. Guess what? You're going to have a happy family, happy house, all that. But then you're going to be thinking about how your kids is bugging you. You're going to have more money, but then you're going to have to give to more people. Stop waiting for the more money to come to be a good, to be, and to have a heart of generosity. Stop waiting for the promotion to come to think that you can walk in your authority now and enjoy what God has given you now. Stop waiting until you get married to believe that you can live a happy life. Stop waiting until you feel like you can move out of this place to make yourself feel like you have some sense of recognition and status. No. God is saying, what have I given you now? I placed it all in you. All in one. Hallelujah. All in one. I'm going to stop my share real quick and I'm going to just talk to y'all. I'm going to be finishing, closing out soon. But God wants to see what are you made of now. See, Jesus didn't wait. He only had 33 years. Jesus walked in his authority in the midst of weakness, in the midst of temptation, yet he endured it so that he may have more power in his ministry. The Bible says his fame went out through all the land after he endured those 40 days and 40 nights against Satan. So he moved in his authority. Then God gave him. That was added. Focus on your ministry and everything else will be added to you. He allowed the Spirit to lead him in the wilderness. He allowed everything to happen at once for the benefit of God's will. See, okay, here's the thing. I want to express something to y'all. Jesus' ministry wasn't perfect. He was perfect. It didn't stop the persecution. It didn't stop the anger. Every time Jesus went to heal somebody, here was another one that wanted to be healed. Jesus was in the midst of crowds ready to go and heal somebody. And then somebody came in and was like, oh, I need healing too. You think Jesus was like, oh my God, I'm distracted. Oh my God, there's so much stuff going on. No, oh. Jesus was like, this is part of my ministry. I'm going to be tested. Distractions will come. Disruptions will come. And God is going to get the glory in the midst of it. He was ready for, he had his solitude time with God. And he found that, okay, I can't stop what's going to naturally, I can't stop the enemy from doing what he's going to do. The enemy's going to be the enemy. People's flesh is going to be the flesh. People's stench is going to be the stench. I'm responsible for how I move. Now, granted, we're not Jesus. We're not perfect. So we're not going to get everything right. But what I want y'all to know is that even in the midst of you not getting everything right, the least you can do is obey God with what he's giving you. Be imperfect in his presence. Be imperfect in his presence. So even when situations might be going on, as things might be happening, stay in him. Keep in him. Walk with him. Talk with him. Yeah, I might have got that wrong. I might went left here, but I'm walking with you. I know I'm okay because your rod and your staff comforts me. I'm with you. You're showing me that you're still with me, God. I might procrastinate here and there, but I'm still walking with you. I'm still walking. I might say the wrong thing every now and then, but I'm still walking with you. That's the type of life. And he allowed everything to happen at once for the benefit of God's will. Jesus didn't stop Judas from betraying him. Jesus said, no man, take my life. I lay it down. Jesus didn't stop them from beating him on and beating him to Calvary and whooping him to the cross. See, Jesus never stopped. See, here's the thing. Stop looking at this life from a natural perspective, from natural lenses. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, you realize that no matter what happens, it's still fulfilling the plan of God. Satan thought when Jesus was being whooped, when Jesus was being betrayed, when Jesus was being mocked and spit at, Satan was probably like, oh, we got him. We got him. We got him. And that's how you got to start to walk in your authority. Let the cards fall as they may. If the company is a mess, let it be a mess. If this situation is in disarray, I'm not going to try to shift it in my own strength. No, I need to focus on what God is doing in me. Let the plan of God work. Jesus said, let's take this bitter cup from me. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus, the will of God was for them to whip him. The will of God was for them for him to walk to Calvary. The will of God was for him to be betrayed. The will of God was for his disciples to leave him, was for Peter to deny him. It might look like things are going haywire, and that might be the will of God. Listen, the way in which God gave me full time in 2022 didn't look like the way I thought full time was going to happen for me. 32 people got fired, and I still wasn't hired. I had to walk by faith every day to believe that God was going to provide a ram in the bush. My finances was getting low. I had favor and I had help, but still I had to believe as well. Two things can be true. The favor of God rests upon me, and yes, my faith is still tested. An apartment given to me, and by faith I give a number. I give a number. God, this is what I'm willing to pay. I don't know if I'm going to get what I'm going to get, but I'm going to pay it anyway. But guess what? God wasn't waiting for the situation to change. He was waiting for me to change. Oh, come on. God is not waiting for the situation. He's waiting for you to change. So the same faith that I had in him then is the same faith I can have in him now when the job is going buck wild and situations is happening. People are talking against me. People are saying situations are dropped. People are getting fired. People are leaving. I don't care because I know the same God who got me from there is the same God who would get me through this. Oh, the same God that delivered my mom from dialysis is the same God who can keep her. The same God who showed himself to my father is the same God who will show himself to me. The same God who delivered you from every ailment, delivered you from the fire, delivered you from the wilderness, is the same God who can do it even when it looks like it can't be done. Ah, that's faith. It's in me. It's not around me. It's in me. I'm speaking to you because this thing is in me. Oh, man. Oh, man. We almost done, y'all. We almost done. Woo! Joshua pulled off one of the greatest ambushes in history to possess a land of promise right after the death of his mentor. Do you understand? The death of his mentor, the weight of the world on Joshua's shoulders. Can you do the same thing Moses did? Can you come on. Can you lead a people? The pressure plus grief. See, everybody looks at him getting them over the Jordan. Everybody looks at him leading them to the promised land. But do you know that there were still things going on even in the midst of them going into the promised land? It's not a perfect road, saints. Something's always going to be happening. At the height of your ministry, at the height of your life, at the height of destiny, it don't matter whether you're in the mountaintop, it don't matter whether you're in the valley, all will be happening at the same time. But can you stand the test of time? Can Jesus be a sufficiency? Can Jesus be the one that you rely on even in the midst? And you might be in a place right now where God is requiring more of you. But I want to let you know, I want to let you know tonight that the same God that was with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the same God of ancient days, the same God of yesterday, the same God of today, I'm sounding like Pastor John Ward. The same God of tomorrow is God forevermore. You're worried about what you are, but God said this thing is bigger than you. This thing is bigger than you. You are carrying treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of what? Him, and not of us. God is saying to you that this is a mission that you're on, that's bigger than your weakness, that's bigger than your trials, that's bigger than your circumstance. You are carrying something such great. And God is saying, if I'm God, I can do it all by myself. I didn't even need you, but I've given you the privilege of carrying this burden because I know you can do it through the power that worketh in you. Oh, I'm talking about a God. I ain't talking about Benaiah. Benaiah got flaws. Benaiah got issues. Benaiah got weaknesses. But God is in Benaiah. And whatever he wants me to do, I can do through the power that work in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was counted out. I was the least of all saints. I don't even deserve to be here. But yet, God chooses what he wants to choose for his glory. So God gave Joshua more strength. Hey, I feel that anointing. God is about to give you more strength. Oh, man, for his name's sake. And grace in the midst of loss. He was grieving, yet achieving. In that moment, he had more power than ever and more anointing. Oh my gosh, when your life seems like you don't have enough strength, that's when I give the most strength to you. Oh, when I was depressed, laying down in my bed, being paralyzed by the spirit of heaviness, God gave me more strength. He revived me. He refreshed me. He resurrected me. I'm stronger than ever. I'm better than ever. I got a better mind. I got a better heart. I got a better strength. Oh my gosh. Somebody say better.
Come on, minister.
Better.
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 I'm dead, but I'm alive.
Better.
I was dead, but I'm here.
Yes,
oh my gosh, what the enemy meant for evil. God turned that sucker around for good.
Yes.
I am here today by the grace and the mercy of God. I am preaching to people who are lost. I am preaching to people who don't feel like they have a future. God has given me a future, and I can be able to possess the land and bring those to the promised land with me. Hallelujah. God is saying, you are more than a conqueror. You have more than enough in you. And he uses foolish things like you to confound the wise. He uses weak things like you to confound the mighty. You will possess the land by the power of Jesus Christ. You will break down strongholds. You will break down barriers. I don't care if you're still struggling with the same thing. I don't care if you can't read. I don't care if you're dyslexic. I don't care. I don't care. God used my father who dropped out of school, failed the GED twice, and God is using his seed to impact the earth. God is using his seed on this line to bring the joy of salvation. Hallelujah. Because it's not about our weaknesses. It's about salvation. God got to do something. See, me, AP, and Deacon went to the conference for navigators. And we heard the story of all those who had stories of them being locked up. Oh, God can heal a prisoner. Oh, yeah. People who was bound. People who never thought they had a future. Ah, people who went through racism. People who was lied about, mistreated. And God used those same people to disciple the future. God is doing something in this era. God is doing something in this generation that is beyond what we can imagine. God is doing something that is beyond you, beyond what you can conceive. Be patient with the process. Wait on the Lord. Be of good cheer. Walk with him. Endure your cross. Hallelujah. Do it with him. Do it with him. Partner with him. God is about to change the trajectory of this generation. God is doing it for his glory. You got to trust him. You got to believe him. You got to believe him. Seek him daily and you shall find him. Knock and the door shall be open. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh, Satan. We got you. We got you because we here. We're living in promise right now. Some of y'all didn't even believe that you was going to make it to 50. Hallelujah. Some of y'all thought y'all was going to end up end up dead in the crack house. Some of y'all thought y'all wasn't even going to be here today. Hallelujah. Some of y'all thought the enemy was going to have y'all sift like wheat. Uh-huh. Some of y'all thought y'all would never receive Christ, but look at today, you're here. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all thought y'all won't even be doing the things y'all do. Y'all better remember what God's spoken over your life. You got to remember what he's delivered you out of. Oh my gosh, God, I'm trying to finish up. Lord, Holy Spirit, activate right now. Hallelujah. Because God is doing something. He's doing it all in one. He'll do it with whatever if he have to. He'll do it with stones. He'll do it with rocks. Oh my gosh. He'll let the rocks will cry out. Hallelujah. The rocks will cry out if they have to. He'll take the money out of a fish. He'll talk to you in his word. He'll talk to you in a donkey. He'll talk to you in a stranger. He'll talk to you through your kids. He'll talk to you through your spouse. He'll talk to you. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, don't be discouraged. Be not discouraged. He told Joshua to be of good courage. Don't be discouraged. Yeah, I know you're facing this thing right now. You're fighting, you're literally face to face, toe to toe with the enemy of your fears, the enemies of darkness, the enemies that try to paralyze you in your sleep. You're toe to toe, you're face to face with them right now. But I want you there, because if you're not there, you won't be able to get the victory. So God wants you to get the victory over them today. Look them right in their face and tell them, in the name of the Lord, you will be mine. You belong to me. To me, I will slaughter you. God will get the glory, but I will slaughter you today. And we're finishing up. God is a God that incorporates all in one to push his plan forward, even as Christ is the front runner. God has put all things under him. So though we may experience all things, it always has to obey and accomplish Christ's plan. Ephesians 1, 20, 23, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in what which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. God is getting ready to fill you. And he's going to do it because he's all in all. The power, the victory, the glory belongs to him now and forevermore. All in one. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this word. Hallelujah. I thank you, oh God, that it was received. I thank you in the name of Jesus, oh God, that Lord, you will have your way with us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that the power of God is above anything that we will face in this earthly domain. We thank you in the name of Jesus, oh God, that even as Adam and Eve fell into sin, oh God, you gave them a promise that Father, the serpent will bruise the head, Father God, will bruise his heel, oh God, that you have given Jesus dominion over everything we face, over everything we encounter. So let us put everything under subjection and let us, oh God, rely on you for our strength, for our peace. Father God, no matter what we experience or no matter what we face, oh God, we will allow patience to work with us, self-control, oh God. The fruits of the Spirit, oh God, to know that it is working. Whatever we face is working. Whatever we face is useful. Father God, nothing is wasted in you, God. And so we thank you that a new hope is being provided for your people today. A new peace is being provided for your people today. Not the one of old, but the one of newness, oh God. That we might walk in, oh God, fervently. Today is a new day, oh God, to receive what you've given us. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise, honor, and glory. And we say it is due your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Recording stopped.
Amen. Thank you.